Today, a British parliamentary panel that's been investigating the July 7th London Transport System bombings released its report. The attack was carried out by four suicide bombers, all British citizens, who detonated explosions in three subway cars and on a bus, killing 52 people, injuring hundreds more. Joining us to talk about the report is John Steele, crime reporter for the Daily Telegraph. He's with us by phone from his office in London. Very good of you to join us today.
Good evening.
And
good evening here, anyway.
What is one of the big questions about this this incident was there a tie to Al-Qaeda? Was there a master bomber that was somehow associated with these four individuals? And as I understand it, the report is inconclusive.
Well, there are actually two reports. One is a parliamentary committee reporting directly to Tony Blair on the intelligence questions which are raised by this. The other is a narrative of what has been learned about the inquiry from our Home Office, which deals with police and security services. They cannot point conclusively or overtly to evidence of an Al-Qaeda link, but there are clear links with Pakistan. There are clear suggestions that they met Al-Qaeda individuals. The deputy leader of Al-Qaeda claimed it after the event, although that's never been substantiated. There are a number of strands of evidence and intelligence which point to the imprint of Al-Qaeda, the influence of Al-Qaeda, the style of Al-Qaeda, even if it wasn't directly closely controlled. And of course, if we look into the history of Al-Qaeda, there have been more of attacks which have been loosely sponsored and inspired by it than there have been directly controlled attacks, such as the September 11th.
There were also questions raised about the possibility of a fifth bomber. There were explosives left in a car that was these people drove to a railroad station before driving into London. And even questions about whether these bombers knew they were suicide bombers. One guy bought a battery just before getting on the bus.
Yeah, well, there were explosives left in one of the cars at the station in Luton, north of London. It's always raised the possibility that there may have been somebody else, although it was a different kind of explosion and a different setup from the rucksack bombs. But the reports say that that there's no evidence of a fifth individual. There were suggestions that they were seen talking to somebody on the station, but that individual was excluded from it. No fifth individual has ever been found. Sorry, you remind me of the second question.
The other question was, were they in any sense dupes? There was a suggestion that one of these men bought a battery just before getting on the bus. Why would you?
Common sense dictates that they were all very, very close to the bags when they exploded. And there's no evidence of remote detonation. And even though the reports don't go into this, I don't think there's any suggestion of timers. But that doesn't mean that they were all aware that they were going to die in the explosions. And possibly this will never be known. As I say, common sense points to suicide, but you have to consider the possibility that Khan, the leader, might well have known what was happening and that possibly others didn't. The guy went on the bus. Why he bought a battery? Maybe his first battery didn't work. More interestingly, he's attempting to ring the other three at a time after they've been blown up. Why was he doing that? Did he think that they might have survived? But there again, he seemed to have been in quite a nervous mood, so who knows what was going through his mind.
Yep.
Only Khan left a video message and a will and testament. The others didn't. It's an interesting question.
Mohammed Sadiq Khan is the man to whom you're referring.
The older member of the group and the man who appears to be within the group, the ringleader.
And both he and a man named Shahzad Tanweer had come to the attention of British intelligence before this happened.
Well, Khan on a number of occasions, possibly up to four or five occasions, Tanweer much more tangentially, and a phone number for a third of the bombers, Jermaine Lindsay, was also found. But the real questions are raised over Khan. And the Parliamentary Committee report, which is reported to the Prime Minister, says that, you know, opportunities were missed, but it identifies a problem with resources available to MI5, the security service, and being unable to follow up all the lines of inquiry from all the dozens of people who crop up in these kind of cases.
Mm-hmm. Home Secretary John Reid told the House of Commons that British law enforcement had thwarted three subsequent attacks since July 7th. Did he give any more information than that?
Not today. I mean, there have been a number of other prosecutions since. I mean, if they investigate anything which leads to a prosecution under our terrorism laws, they will say that they've disrupted a potential attack. There is no doubt. Well, there's allegedly no doubt. You'll have to see how the cases go through the courts. But there are other prosecutions before July 7 and since July 7.
Yeah, 2 weeks after July 7th, there was what appeared to be an attempt for a follow-up series of attacks that were thwarted. Any connection between the two?
There's no evidence at all, according to this report, and I've always picked this up from police. There's no evidence of any link between the two. On the face of it, of course, it was coming 2 weeks later. That case, people have been charged over that, and that one will appear at the Old Bailey in London in due course.
John Steele, thanks very much.
Thank you.
John Steele, crime reporter for the Daily Telegraph, with us by phone from his office in London. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.